Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody here this morning. I hope and trust that you've had a good week, and the Lord has blessed us in being back in this house again. And let me get these announcements quickly. You had an insert in your bulletin this morning. If you'll look at that, this is for the buckets of hope. Now, the hygiene baskets, let me start right here just a minute. There's two baskets back here, one for a day of hope, and there's a sign on it that says day of hope. You see all what is going in that basket. You have another basket, it's called the red box gloves, and that is for the prison ministry, I believe is what it said on there. And that ain't the buckets of hope, I just want to clarify that. Okay, that's why I wanted to start down here. The two baskets back here are not the buckets of hope. Now, the association is going to provide the buckets. We just need to fill them up, if I'm not mistaken. So we need to get those things in. I don't know. Are they a deadline on the buckets of hope?
I think at the bottom of that paragraph.
All right, that's...
Deliver them to the association. I think it's the 18th. No, I was wrong. I'm sorry.
I know this
right.
is the prison,
I
believe.
I'll add that date. Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
It's the what?
It is. I think it's the 18th. I think it's the 18th that we
month.
Need to have those buckets of hope. But let me double check it.
Okay.
And I'll clarify that
okay.
on
yeah.
Next Sunday.
All right. But the the baskets, the red, the prison ministry is October 15th. And the hygiene basket is October the 18th, all right? So, and we'll get a confirmed date
right,
on the
yes.
the bucket of hope, all right?
I'm sorry, I didn't put that date in there.
All right. It's all right. So, but anyhow, you see all what we need to fill up those buckets, and hope you can just help us out on that. And then now on the upcoming events, we have, well, the Cookies for Kairos, that date is coming up quick, too. We need to get those baked up. If you want to go ahead and bake them up, you can put them in the refrigerator, freezer, what have you. But they do ask no sugar or fruit on top. Is that right? So don't forget that. And we need that by October the 14th. And then our fall festival is the 27th, which will be over here at the softball field. We're going to have a work day the 20th, the Saturday before, all right? We'd like to get everything cleaned up and you know, ready to go that Saturday where when we get here, we ain't scuffling around like last year, I think. Miss Evelyn had to clean tables for an hour, I believe it was, just trying to get it so we could sit down and eat. So let's be here the 20th, somewhere around 10:30 that morning on the 20th, and we'll get everything cleaned up, ready to go. And then the 27th, we can come and enjoy it, all right? So don't forget that. And then don't forget revivals coming up November the 4th through the 7th. Now, that is preliminary dates. That is nothing set in stone, because if God wants us to go the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, we will. I don't put a time on God. Amen? But that is the date, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday as of right now. All right? And my nephew will be here singing for us Monday. And then Travis will be singing and preaching Tuesday. And then I'll close it out, Lord willing, on Wednesday. If not, we'll keep going. But then we have the WMU and Baptist Men. The revival took that Monday, so we moved it to the 12th, all right? So, boy, I tell you what, we had a time last Monday. It looked like, now all those that was there, I forget how many was there. The women beat us by one, I believe, if I ain't mistaken. Of course, now, we didn't count her, Cindy, because she was late. So I think it was even, wasn't it?
Listen, that's just me. I always, if you don't count me every time I'm late,
yeah.
I will never get
Yeah, I told him before you got there. I said, now she ain't here when we're starting. We can't count her. We're tied.
Yeah, so, y'all know me.
Yeah, that's right. But anyhow, we had a great time. Great number. And it looked like a homecoming spread of food out there. I'm telling you, it was a great time. So if you can come November the 12th, all right, 7 o'clock. And then Anson Crisis Ministry, October, is grits and oatmeal. Let's see, Deacon of the Week is Brother Tommy. His number's down there in the bottom. Now, if you can't get him, leave a voicemail because Penny won't get him a good phone, all right? So, you need to. So, but anyhow, no, I'm just picking. Any other announcements? Perhaps maybe I've looked over. All right, we added several before Sunday school this morning, and I hope and trust you'll add these to yours and pray for them. Susan Stafford, Peggy Chaney, Maverick, which is Shelby's little boy, has gone through a tremendous amount of stuff right now. And then Christine and Shorty, Marilyn, and then Jenny's working crazy hours. And then the lady with, what was her
name? I don't know what her name was, but her husband
was Vernon Bennett. Vernon Bennett. Remember the Vernon Bennett family. She passed away, when was that?
Yesterday.
How old was she, 30?
She was in her 40s.
40s, okay.
Early 40s.
Okay.
She
passed away with breast cancer, I believe.
She went through treatment the same time as Denise, so it's really affected Denise.
Yeah.
I remember her.
Okay. All right. So remember Vernon Bennett, all right? His family. And remember Linda Laney's family. She passed away Thursday, and they're going to plant her this afternoon at 3 o'clock. We was at the funeral home last night with that family. So any others that we need to add? Yes, sir.
Wow.
My goodness. Wow. Okay. Terrence Adams. Remember that. Any others? Who?
Richard Porter.
Oh, that's Kim's husband.
Yeah.
What's the matter with him?
Oh,
okay. All right.
Nelson Horn.
Nelson Horn.
He's got cancer.
Okay. Boy, is cancer not running rampant? My, my. Any others?
Also, remember me, I go to the bone and joint tomorrow to get some more shots in my spine that last ones didn't take. I'm just praying that I don't end up back in the wheelchair like I was before.
Yeah. Okay.
I just don't want to go back that way.
Yeah.
Just keep me in the prayer.
Sure will. All right. Any others?
Preacher, keep me in mind about October 23rd. I leave for Indianapolis.
Okay. All right. Any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for this beautiful day that you have given us, Lord. We're so thankful for our health and our strength. Lord, so many times we take for granted, Lord, and we look at this prayer list and how it's growing and just expanding every time we come together, Lord, with people with cancer and loss of loved ones and so many things going on, Father. And we take for granted, Lord, that we have got our health and our strength, Lord, that you give us day by day. Lord, I pray that you would be with each one on this prayer list this morning. Lord, whether it was spoken or unspoken, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would go wherever they may be, Lord, that you would touch and heal them according to thy precious will. Be with those families, Lord, that are bereaved and brokenhearted. Lord, that's lost their mamas, their daddies, their family members, Lord, I just pray that you would comfort them as only you can. God, I pray that you would bless this service today. Lord, I pray that you would bless the choirs they sing. I pray that you would bless the message, Lord, that you've laid on my heart. And help us, Lord, this morning to open our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we could get what thus saith the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would help us to have a clear mind and conscience right now, Father, Lord, of all the worldly things outside the doors of this church. Lord, that you would set our mind on heavenly things. Lord, that you would allow us to open our hearts and our minds and just let you work in our lives like never before. And Lord, I pray as us as Christians, Lord, help us, Lord, to show love to this lost and dying world. And Father, I ask, Lord, if there's one lost here today, you'd save them. If there's one backslidden, proclaim them. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Get some ushers. Y'all gonna make me stand up here and go ahead and preach. Yeah, I didn't know who was on there. But anyhow, Brother Zeke, would you ask the blessings on the offering? If you have your Bibles, if you would, the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 13. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 13. Now, this morning I want to look at a man called David. We know a lot about David. We know that he was the son of Jesse. We know that. We recall when Saul called for David, and when David got there, he sent Jesse to get him. He told him to go to the field and get him and bring him back to me, for I found favor with him. Well, as David got closer, the Bible says, I believe it's in chapter 13, that there was an evil spirit in Saul at that time. And that's when David got his harp and started playing in front of Saul and eased his spirit. And then that's where we pick up today here in 1 Samuel chapter 13. Look with me at verse 14. The Bible says, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath saw him." Watch this. Here's what I want to preach to you. "The Lord hath saw him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Now, hold your spot there and turn with me to Psalms chapter 89. Psalms chapter 89. One verse in Psalms chapter 89 and verse 20. The Bible says this, "I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him." You say, well, what's all that got to do with it, preacher? Well, what I was explaining to you about David, and you know the story after Saul anointed him, he was with the armor and he went to face Goliath. You remember that? David and Goliath. Well, then after that, Saul saw that David was going to try to take over his kingdom, so he was trying to kill David. For many years he chased him and tried to kill him. But Jonathan, Saul's son, had a love for David and tried to protect him. Every time he heard something from Saul that he was going to seek after him in the east, Jonathan would tell David, "Don't go to the east, go to the west." And so it was all boiling down to God anointing him. And then when Saul died, David became king, right? King David. So, but God's hand was upon David this whole time. Even as he was out, just a little young boy, out in the shepherd, in the fields, keeping the flocks, of the sheep, God was still with him at that moment. And so here we come today to the message. I titled the message this morning, "Becoming a Person After God's Own Heart." David strived for many years and kept the faith. Now let me say this about David. We know that David sinned, did he not? He sinned because he looked on Bathsheba's nakedness, if y'all remember that. And then he had King Uriah sent to the front line, had him killed. So nobody would know that Delilah or, Bathsheba had a baby by him. And by the way, the baby died, if you recall that. So, and all this time, even though, the reason I wanted to bring that out is there is none righteous, no, not one. There is not one perfect person in this church today. You might think you are, but let me tell you something. The Bible tells me different, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not one righteous person that has never sinned except for Jesus Christ himself. That's the only one. And the reason I pointed out David has sinned, when looking over and seeing the nakedness of Bathsheba, the reason I brought that out is because I want us to know you can still be after God's own heart and sin every day of your life. But there are certain things we've got to do to strive to be a person after God's own heart. And I want us to look at a few things this morning. First of all, number one, a person after God's own heart will love the Word of God. A person after God's own heart will love the Word of God. Psalms chapter 73, I want to flip over there quickly. That's one of the greatest psalms ever written. Is Psalms chapter 73. But I want to read verses 21 through 28. And I want you to listen to what the Bible has to say. The Bible says, "Thus my heart was grieved and was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant I was, as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. What is the counsel of God? That's the word of God, is it not? Now, God guides us with his word. I haven't yet had a problem that I can't find an answer in the word of God if you look long enough. I don't care what the problem is. Read on and notice what he says in verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all of them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I declare all thy works. That's a great psalm right there, isn't it? And knowing that God, even though we sin and we come short of the glory of God, he's still going to receive us where? In glory. Is that not what the Bible said? Afterwards, receive me to glory. But you know, preaching to folks that are lost and undone without God, even a simple thought that I have this morning, those things are foolish to those that perish. Is that not what Paul said? He said the word of God is foolishness to those that perish. They don't understand those things. But I want you to understand something this morning. If you're ever going to be a person after God's own heart, you got to learn to love the word of God. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 11. Notice what the Bible says. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that what? I might not sin against thee, right? So I say to you, knowing that if you love the word of God, it protects you from sin. That's what David was saying here. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Well, you know what? We got the word of God hid in us. We're still going to sin, but it's going to protect us from sinning more than what we do. I've said this before and I'll say this again. Being saved does not make you sinless. Being saved makes you sin less. Are you with me? Psalms chapter 119 and verse 50. And boy, this here is something that you need to mark down in your Bible, because we're living in a day, an hour, that every time we turn around, we're down in the valley. We're down in the dumps. We're discouraged about something. Whether you're in school, whether you're at work, whether you're retired, just cut on the evening news, it discourages you. But notice this verse here. This is my comfort in my affliction. For what? Thy word hath quickened me. That word quickened, it means to be made alive, right? It says, this is my comfort in affliction. For thy word hath made me alive again. If you just get in the word of God, we wouldn't be walking around like we've been sucking on prunes for the last 2 weeks or something like that, where your face is drawn up. I watch them little babies when they bite into a lemon. Y'all have ever seen that? Where, boy, they just do that, you know, and they make the awfulest faces. But that's the way Christians are. And if we get into the word of God and learn about God and his love, my friend, you will be made alive again, and you can hold your head up high instead of being just depressed all the time. Get in the word of God, and it, number one, it will protect you from sin. Number two, it will lift you up during trials. And number three, Psalms chapter 119 and verse 165. Notice that. Look at the first two words. What is the first two words? Great peace. And boy, don't we need that nowadays. Boy, with all, look, I mean, just notice our prayer list. How long it is, how many we've added. That's depressing. Because people are sick. They're dying, going to heaven, or if they're saved. But if they're lost, they're dying and going to hell. And it's depressing. If you look at the obituaries, I check it once a day, make sure I ain't in it, amen? But you ought to do the same thing, because the world has got us so down and out. We don't feel alive no more. We feel like we're depressed. We feel like we're dead. But I'm so glad the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law. What is the law? The Bible. If we just grab a hold of this thing, if you want to become a person after God's own heart, you got to learn to love the Word of God. Not only does it say, love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You see that? If you know what the Bible says, folks, we ought to be smiling this morning. You say, why, preacher? Because I've read the back of the book. I've read the book of Revelations from chapter 1 to verse 22. I've read it all. I've studied it all. And I win. There's nothing that can take salvation away from me. And one of these days I'm going to heaven to be with the one who died for me. You say, how do you know, preacher? Because the Bible tells me so. If you want to become a person after God's own heart, you got to love the Bible. Number one, it protects us from sin. Number two, it lifts us up during trials. Number three, it gives us peace. How many know Jesus loved the Word of God? Did you know that? Flip with me to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Jesus loved the Word of God. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Isn't that something? You see, he even learned. He said, it is written. That means it was written in the Word of God that man shall not live by bread alone. I'm so thankful that Jesus did. I asked a question this morning. Do you love the Word of God? Turn back to Psalms chapter 1. Look with me at verse 1, 2, and 3. Now watch closely. It simply says this, happy or blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat, watch, of the scornful. Look at the next verse. But his delight is where? What is the law? The Word of God, is it not? And his law doth he what? That means constantly thinking about the Word of God. If we constantly think and meditate on the Word of God and love the Word of God, you won't be dabbling out here in the world, and your mind won't be set on earthly things. It'll always be set on heavenly things. It says, and the law doth he meditate day and night. Notice this. But his delight, and he shall be like a what?
Tree.
Mm-hmm. You know, you take a tree. Now, I want you to think about this. What has been made from trees? Wow. What you're sitting on today, if a tree hadn't lost its life, you wouldn't have had a seat. Is it holding you up pretty good? Pretty strong, isn't it? You see all the wood. I mean, everywhere you look, you see wood, right? Everywhere you look, you see wood. If you would take the sheetrock down, you would see studs in the wall made out of wood. If you would take the ceiling down, you would see rafters up there made out of wood. Everything you see, the floor your feet are on, is made out of wood. That's why when he wrote this Psalms, he said, and he shall be like a tree. Something strong, something that God can use for a lot of things. Planted by the river. You know why he said planted by the river? Because the more water a tree gets, the stronger it grows and the bigger it gets. And that's the way we should be as Christians. If we plant ourselves by the Word of God, we will get stronger and bigger, and God could use us for multiple things. That's why he put it like that. And that bringeth forth what? His fruit, not ours. If we bear our fruit, we're going to bear sadness, aren't we? We're going to bear depression, aren't we? We're going to bear sour things because it's human nature. We're going to bear sin. But it says bring forth His fruit in what? His season. Notice the rest of that verse. His leaves shall not what? Shall not wither. Don't lose sight of that one word, not. Shall not wither, and whatsoever He doeth? Wow. You want to be like Jesus this morning? You want to be a person after God's own heart? Number one, you got to learn to love the Word of God. Number two, I ain't got but 10 this morning, so just hang on. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Number two, now listen to me. A person after God's own heart, number one, going to love the Bible, right? Learn the Word of God. Number two, they're going to love to pray. A person after God's own heart is going to love to pray. Psalms chapter 116 and verse 1 and 2. Notice what the Bible says. The first thing I like in this, it says, I love the Lord. How many love Jesus this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
I didn't hear you.
Amen.
Oh, now it's getting a little better. See, y'all way out there and I'm way up here. I can't hardly hear you. But it says, I love the Lord because, why? There's a reason He loves the Lord. Because he said, because He hath heard my voice and my supplication. My goodness. How many know when you get on your knees at night, or if you can, I know some of you can't get on your knees, but lay in bed and just start praying to God, and man, that's a peaceful time, isn't it? Knowing that when you pray, He hears you. That ought to make us love God even more because He hears our prayer. My goodness. Look at the next verse. Because, here it is again. He hath inclined His ear unto me. He hears when you pray. If you want to become a person after God's own heart, first of all, you got to love the Bible. Second of all, you got to learn to pray, because when you pray, you're talking to the Father. He inclined His ear unto me. Therefore, I will call upon Him as long as I live. My goodness. Boy, you ought to be shouting this morning. How many know that Jesus is not dead this morning, but He's alive? Aren't you glad we serve a God that's risen? That He's not dead, but He's alive, and He's alive forevermore. And because He is alive today, His love is still alive. His Word are still alive. His prayers are still alive. How many know Jesus also loved to pray? Turn over to Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. The Bible says this, Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. And He withdrew Himself. In other words, He got by Himself. Into the wilderness and done what? Wow. If it's good enough for Jesus Christ, it ought to be good enough for every one of us. Amen? He's the one who died and made it all possible. And now He's sitting on the right hand of God. I've been doing a little personal study. I hadn't tried to put a message together on this, but I've been doing a little study on the Trinity. Man, you know what? That's something special. The Spirit is a person. The Bible calls the Spirit He. Jesus was a person. Because He was here 33 and a half years on this earth and bled and died for you and I and rose again. And the Bible says that now He's sitting on the right hand of God. Is that not right? Making intercession for you and I. So I've been reading and doing a little breakdown on the Trinity. How God is, was, and will be. From the beginning of time, you take your wedding band off or a ring, that's God. That's the circle of God. You don't see no beginning and you don't see no ending. That's God. And I want us to understand, as long as God is, God was and God will be. The Spirit is, was, and will be. And Jesus is, was, and will be. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father, because we three are become one. Amen. Man, I started doing that. That just made me want to love on him just a little bit more. Amen. Love his word. My question to you is, David loved to pray. Jesus loved to pray. Do we? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. You don't even probably have to turn there. You know what that verse says. It simply says this. Pray without. That means stop. Ceasing means quitting. And you know what, this day and hour in which we're living in, if things don't go our way, we stop praying. We get mad at God because it don't suit us. Can I say something to you this morning? Calvary didn't suit Jesus either, but he went on up Calvary's hill. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, did he not? And how many know that what was in that cup, I've said it many times, he looked in the cup and saw Tim Helms in there. He saw you in that cup, and praise God, he started drinking the cup and walked up Calvary's hill and died on an old rugged cross. He didn't want to, but he did. You might not want to read your Bible, but do. You might not want to pray, but do. If you want to become like David, a man after God's own heart, a woman after God's own heart, you got to love the Word of God. You got to learn to pray. And number three, boy, this is going to hit home. Number three. A person, if you want to become a person after God's own heart, you got to start praising and worshiping Him. David praised Him. David continually praised God and worshiped God. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 164. Look what the Bible says. Seven times a day. Wow. And we can't get us to do it once a day. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. My, my. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you truly worship God? When's the last time you truly praised God? How many know there's a difference between worshiping and praising? There is a difference. Can I explain them to you? Worshiping is giving up all for one. You know, you find Buddha and Muhammad and Ali and all of those, they would get down on their faces on the ground before those statues and lay out everything and worship a statue. When's the last time you gave up everything and literally laid out and said, Lord, I am going to worship you today? I told you this was going to hit home. But you know what? My question is he worthy to be praised? Is he worthy to be worshiped? Now think about that. He done something that nobody else could do for you, and that's die for you, so you could have everlasting life. Is that not right? Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says there is no remission of sin. None. No. Zero. Zilch. However you want to say it, there is none. David loved to praise and worship him. When's the last time you come to worship and to praise God? Just think about that. How many know we should worship Him? And the word praise, worship is selling out everything, and praise is giving Him the alms that's due. When's the last time you gave God what was due to Him? You say, what is that, preacher? That's everything you've got. I don't care what it is, from the sole of your shoes to the top of your head, it belongs to God. He made it. He designed it. I've often said a car has to have a starter, alternator, and battery just to crank the engine. Where's my starter? Where's my alternator? And where's my battery? But praise God, I'm still kicking. Amen? And so are you. You see, it's life that Jesus puts in us. And when that life is over with, He takes it away. He holds our ever-living breath in His hand. And at that time, when He lets it go, that's it. No man knoweth the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man shall appear. Is that not right? Not even the angels in heaven know. And your days are numbered as the hair is on your head, or was there. Amen. I'll put it that way. You see, God made some perfect heads and the rest He put hair on. All right? We're going to say that. That helps us. All right. But how many know David loved to praise and worship? But so did Jesus. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25. At this time Jesus answered, now watch, and said, what did He say? I thank Thee, O Father. When's the last time you thank God for everything you've got? I seen something on Facebook. It said, what if you wake up tomorrow? Now listen, what you thank God for yesterday and that's all you had. What did you thank God for yesterday? Everything? Well, you know what? Today you're going to have everything. You thank Him for just one thing here, you might not have one thing tomorrow. Jesus said, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast had the things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them as unto babes. I thank You, Father. When's the last time you thank God for what you have? How many know it could be stripped out and taken away from you as quickly as it was given to you? You better start thanking God. You want to be a person after God's own heart? We need to start praising God. David praised Him continually. Jesus praised His own Father. And no, what about us? Psalms chapter 147 and verse 1. My. Praise ye the Lord. Now don't skip that word. Praise ye. Who is ye? That's us. For it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant and praise is comely. My goodness. I catch myself, that CD I had, I think Randy had made me, of Next Chapter singing, and then Brother Larry was singing the couple songs. I put that CD in the truck and go down the road just singing. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. If the bucket had a half a tune, I still couldn't tote it. Amen. But I get in my, well, I think I can sing pretty good. When you're by yourself, ain't that right, Jamie? Boy, we can sing like the best of them. But you know what? God don't listen to the tune you're in. He listens from what your heart is singing. And I go down the road, boy, I just start singing. And you start feeling that presence of God. Lord, I know I'm not a singer. You didn't call me to sing. You called me to preach. And I'm trying to learn how to do that over the years. I'm still working on that one. But when's the last time you praise God? Praise ye the Lord. Last one. So a person, if you want to be a person after God's own heart, number one, you got to love the Word of God. Number two, you got to love to pray. Number three, you got a person after God's own heart, you got to start praising and worshiping Him. And last of all, and boy, this is the best one to me. a person after God's own heart, listen, follows through. How many times you've ever quit on God? How many times have you thought about quitting on God? I don't know how many times I've thought about quitting. Just giving up and said, Lord, this ain't for me. And then I realized, no, Lord, it ain't for me, it's for you. And I kept on going. But if you ever going to become a person after God's own heart, you got to follow through. One reason David was a man after God's own heart is explained by God Himself. Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. The Bible says, and when he had removed him, he raised up them, up unto them, who? To be their what? See that? The Bible says, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall, now here it is, shall, he promised, fulfill all my will. See, David didn't quit. Even though he sinned, even though he got out of the will of God, even though he committed murder, he still become a man after God's own heart. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and sin. I'm not telling you to go out and murder. I'm not telling you to go out and blatant sin, because God punishes sin. Amen. The wages of sin is what? There you go. You want to cut your life short? Keep on sinning. That's basically what the Bible says, the wages. It costs something. That's what wages are. It costs something to sin. What does it cost? Your life. What about us? What about us? Are we willing to follow through this morning? Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. I want you to look what the Bible says. My, this ought to scare you to death. If you're saved, you ought to be shouting. If you're lost, it ought to scare you. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, watch, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But, there's that but that goes from good to bad, bad to good. Here it goes from bad to good. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. My. How many would like to be a person after God's own heart this morning? It's going to take a little work, isn't it? We have to work hard every day to be what God wants us to be. I fail Him so many times. Every day of my life, I fail God. Every time you turn around, there's sin, isn't it? But can I say something to you? I have the opportunity to fail God because I'm saved. If you don't have salvation, you don't have Jesus. I would rather have Jesus than anything I know. Y'all know the song. I would rather have Jesus than men's applause. I would rather have Jesus than fame and fortune. I would rather have Jesus than anything I know. I'm going to ask you this morning if you'd bow your head. Miss Sandra, if you'd come. Every head bowed and every eye closed. See, a person after God's own heart has to be a person like Jesus. But if you don't know this morning Jesus as your personal Savior, there's no way ever you can become like Jesus. Father, thank you, Lord, for this message this morning. Lord, it's helped me tremendously to realize, Lord, if I'm ever going to become a person after your own heart, there's one word that stuck out to me as I was studying this, and it's love. I got to love your word. I've got to love to pray. I've got to love to worship you. And Lord, I've got to never give up. Lord, there's been times that we've come close to giving up. But I'm so thankful you kept us going. Lord, if there's one here this morning has never been saved, Lord, would you bring them to this altar? What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, when he saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day that will be. Lord, I ask that you would just give life to some person here this morning, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. If you don't know this morning that you've been saved, why don't you come to this altar right now? That way you can become like Jesus. Would you come right now? Don't wait. Don't put it off. You might not ever have another opportunity. Would you come? Anybody, anywhere? My question now is, how many of you Christians would love and strive to be like Jesus, a man after his own heart? Why don't you come to this altar and say, God, help me to become a person after your own heart. Would you come? Just a moment, and we're going to close. Thank you so much for your time and attention this morning.